Boom, baby! Yes, sir!
Welcome back. Our weekly conversation with Hall of Famer Slick Leonard. And Slick, when we talked last week, we talked about your coaching, first as a player coach and then as just a coach in Chicago and Baltimore. But there became a time where Baltimore decided to go in a different direction. So for the first time in your adult life, you were not involved in basketball. When that happened, did you have a plan? Were you going to try to get back in? Had you decided that was it for basketball? What were you thinking then when the Bullets let you go?
Well, I really, Mark, I was thinking maybe I could do something else. You know, I've been in basketball my whole life, and, you know, it's a, especially in a pro game, it's a vicious circle. You know, the guys, coaches, you know, you and I have talked so many times, if you don't win, if you don't have the Aussies, you don't win, coaches get fired, or somebody dislikes somebody, you know, there's all kinds of ways and all kinds of things happen. So I thought, well, Nancy and I decided, hey, let's go back home. You know, we're in Baltimore. Let's go back to Indiana. You know, in our pro career, we'd played in Minneapolis. We'd played in Los Angeles. We'd played in Chicago. We coached in Baltimore. Time to go home. It's time to go home.
So you did go home. Did you have a plan, or were you just going to go home and then figure it out when you got there?
Well, I didn't really have a plan, but I ran into something that kind of interested me. I think you and I have talked to my college roommate, Bob Skowronski.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bob was with the Green Bay Packers, offensive line captain of some great teams under Lombardi. And I met with him in Baltimore, when the Packers came in to play the Colts. And he told me that he had an off-season job that was pretty good. And he explained it to me, and it was with a company called Justin's. And they dealt with high school, college, in the pros even. They dealt in class rings, senior invitations for graduation, yearbooks, all the trophies and medals and all that kind of stuff. Kind of interested me. So I came back home, and lo and behold, one of my college teammates from Evansville Wrights, by the name of Phil Byers, a guard on that 53 championship team at IU, he was with a company called Herb Jones. And guess what? Herb Jones was located right here in Indianapolis. And the minute I told Phil I was interested, he bent over backwards and got me a territory right in central Indiana, and I had 55 schools, and lo and behold, I was off and running.
But when you started, your entire adult life had been involved in basketball, and so you hadn't had any other real work experience. Were you nervous going into something totally different?
Not really. It's people, Mark. It's, you know, when it comes down to it, everything's people business. And, you know, I was around in that business. You know, went to high school, you got to know the athletic directors, the high school coaches, and many of the principals and principals in high school who you dealt with a lot were former coaches. You know, they'd coached in high school and then went up the ladder and became principals of high school. So it was a fun thing, Mark. It was enjoyable. You're around kids. It was enjoyable.
So you're doing that. I assume you're having some success. I know you're enjoying it. And now we move forward a few years, and the ABA is about to get underway, and they reach out to you. Were you skeptical at first?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mark. Well, once you played in, you know, once I played in the NBA, those 9 years I got credit for in the NBA, when you started thinking about another league with a 3-point line, with a red, white, and blue basketball. I thought, Nancy and I sat down and talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. I said, honey, I said, I don't see how in the world this league can last.
So why did you decide to get involved?
Well, I had a former guy I was associated with when I was in Chicago and in Baltimore by the name of Mike Storen. And Mike was one of the guys that was involved in the very start of the Indiana Pacers. And he called me and wanted me to come down and run a tryout camp, Mark, a tryout camp for the Indiana Pacers. So I thought, at the old Coliseum, so I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with that. So I went down, and Clyde LaVellet, another Hall of Famer, another tarot guy, the two of us ran this tryout camp. And it was, Mark, you'd had a ball. You would have had a ball, I'm telling you.
How so?
Well, it was serious, yet there was a lot of comedy in it. We walk into that old Fairgrounds Coliseum, Mark. There's 150 guys showed up for this thing.
All ages?
150 players, you know, showed up to try to show that they could play professional basketball. And you'd be amazed, you know, some of them were right out of high school. Some of them had played some college ball. But they wanted it. Everybody thinks they can play. Everybody thinks they can play. But the funniest one of them all, and God bless his heart, he was right off the farm, came in there with a pair of cut-off bib overhauls. He did have a pair of Converse on, but he'd been out in the barn shoveling manure with those Converse shoes on. And you know what, Mark? The guy could really shoot. He could really shoot.
So wait, Slick. He's in cutoff overalls. He's tracking manure all over the floor at the Coliseum, and he's draining three. He's draining 3-pointers.
Yeah, he can shoot it. He can shoot. I love the guy. You know.
How old was he?
Pardon me?
How old was this guy?
The guy had been out of high school probably 10 years.
So he's in his late 20s.
Yeah, you know. But in that barn where he was shoveling manure, he must have had a basketball goal like it is in Indiana. Up on that. So he'd shovel a little manure and then shoot baskets out there on the barn.
Well, obviously you cut him.
Well, you know what happened. So we go through the thing, and there wasn't a chance. You know, some of it was such a joke. But so we decided. Clyde and I decided. You know what? We're going to run layup lines, okay? And if you missed the layup going into the hoop, then you're cut. Now, how do you like that? So anyway, we had to cut down and practice ended, and like I always did in the pro game when I was coaching, I said, hey, it's time to get on these baselines. So we started running baselines with these guys. And we ran and ran and ran and ran baselines. These guys were going over, laying down on the sidelines, or over throwing up. And I mean, it was awful. It was awful.
How many?
So when that was go ahead, Mark.
How many guys made it through?
Well, let me tell you what happened. So when we got through with all those baselines, and the guys were just it was pitiful. It was a pitiful sight. I said, okay, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock is time practice is going to start. And let me tell you something, if you thought that running those 15 baselines was tough, it'll probably go up to 20 baselines tomorrow. The next morning, 8 o'clock, we had 7 guys show up. Uh-huh. we couldn't even play full court. We had to play half court with those 7 guys. Lo and behold, you know, that ended. But it was kind of a fun thing.
Did any of those guys at least make it to the original training camp?
None of them made it.
All right, so your initial involvement then was this 2-day tryout, and they're putting a team together, and they've got ownership and so forth. Were you approached beyond that to be involved right from the beginning?
Right from the beginning, no. No, but they did ask me. They did ask me about, they said, Slick, what do you think about coaching? And they had a guy in mind named Larry Staverman. And Larry had played for me. He had played for me, in Chicago, and he was an assistant coach at Notre Dame. Okay, and I knew Larry very well. Great guy. And I said, "Well, hey, he'd be a great guy to start off with," which they did. Larry Staverman was the first Indiana Pacer coach.
I'm not quite clear on that, Slick. Did they just ask you to help them find a coach, or did they ask you to coach? You said no, and they asked you to find a coach.
No, they did not ask me at that point in time. They did not ask me to coach.
Would you have been interested if they had?
Well, you know, again, that's something that you'd have to take under consideration. I had such a wonderful position with Herb Jones. Everybody in the family was happy and everything. I didn't know if I wanted to go back into that rat race. And so they asked me, and I told them, you know, because I knew Larry Staverman. And Mike Storn had known him when I said Mike was in Chicago, and Mike was in Baltimore. Mike knew Larry Staverman.
And he was the first Pacers coach. So now you're back to selling rings and class invitations and so forth. The Pacers have started. Larry's the coach. It's the first year of the ABA. How closely were you following it?
I would go down. I imagine I didn't see many games, but I did follow it. When they talk sports on TV and they tell about this and tell about that, I followed it, so I knew what was going on.
Did you stay involved other than that? Were you just a fan, just a viewer? Was Mike Storen still in touch with you? How was all of that happening, if at all, behind the scenes?
Well, Mike would call me every once in a while asking me what I thought about this, this and that pertaining to basketball, and he'd invite us down to a ball game, and we'd sit down there with him, and, you know, same story, go over, you're sitting there talking the game, and that was about as far as it went at that particular time.
But you eventually would become the coach after that first season, and you were doing well, I assume, with your other job. You say you liked it. Your family was stable. Everybody loved it, you just said. So how difficult was it for you to get back in? And if I remember right, did you not tell me at one time that you kept that job at first while you were coaching?
I kept that job.
How?
I kept that job. I was working. I was out on the road during the day calling on my schools, and then having practice at night. Then also, I got Nancy takes over like she always did, like she did with the Pacers when the Pacers were about ready to be thrown out of town, and she run that telethon. Nancy takes over. with a couple gals and had an office set up at the house with a couple gals as secretaries, and Nancy pretty much run the show, and I went out on the road and called on the schools when I could. And so it was a team situation with the two secretaries. It was a team situation with Nancy and I again, like it's always been. It was a team situation, and we kept that going from... I started out with the Pacers in 68, I think. We kept that going until 1974. We kept that thing for about another 4 or 5 years.
But you didn't keep the Herff Jones job that whole time, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Sure did.
Slick. Did you keep that job for that long a time because you still thought the ABA eventually did go away, but you were never convinced that it was going to be around for the long term?
No, I still wasn't convinced. I wasn't convinced. No, I was not convinced. As I went along, I could see the various things happening, that it was a real battle now. It's a real battle between the NBA and the ABA. And it looked like the ABA was for real. And as you and I well know, when it came down to it, at the end of the line before the merger, the NBA needed the ABA players. And I'll never forget that first year after the merger, the ABA put 13 guys on the NBA All-Star team at the All-Star game.
We'll get into all of that. I want to ask you one more thing, though, before we leave this Herff Jones segment of your life. You talked about selling rings and such, and I know Jostens did sell championship rings to a number of teams over the years. You didn't sell championship rings to your own team, did you?
Yes.
I should have known that was the case.
Yeah, you should have known. We went to championship series five times in that 8 year period, won it three times. All three of those championship rings are Herff Jones rings.
Yep. I don't even know why I asked you that. I didn't know the answer, but I should have. You never.
Well, you know what, Mark, you know Herff Jones and Jostens still to this day run the show in the colleges, all these places and that. Peyton Manning, Colts win the Super Bowl. Guess who designed the ring?
Herff Jones?
Herff Jones.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've known of Jostens for years. That's who I got. They did my high school rings back in the day.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And they were a wonderful company. Wonderful company, just like Herff Jones. And they've done a great job with the question about. I still have kids. Mark, you and I are up there where we go in to do our broadcasting on the games at night. And I still have people when I'm out and around up there on that area, the concourse. There'll be people that will come up to me and say, you know what, Slick? You sold me my high school class ring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into some of this stuff about the ABA and the championship teams and all of that. And I think that first year when you were there, you took over a losing situation. We'll get to that, too, next week. And then talk about some of the guys you coached, the way the ABA worked in those days, and some of your memories of that. I look forward to the next conversation. Meanwhile, as always, my friend, and I know you're doing this, make sure that you and Nancy stay safe. And with each passing day, it seems like hopefully we're getting closer to seeing each other in person, and I look forward to that.
That's wonderful. As a matter of fact, I was thinking it's getting warm weather. I've got the grill out here.
Oh, wait. You've been...
Yeah, and I wanted to know what kind of steak. If I had to ask you...
You've been asking me for 2 years. I'm going to have...
What kind of steak? Yeah, but what kind of steak... I'm going to ask you the question. There's a number of steaks.
Yeah, I know that.
What kind of steak would you like?
Let's see. I don't have a firm number one choice. I like the New York strip. I like any kind of filet.
That's it. I got those.
All right. Well, then I'll look forward to that. Although I will say, as I just did say, you've been telling me since you moved into that house, I'm going to have you over. Remember, you couldn't get the grill in there.
Yeah. Well, I finally learned how to operate this grill. I'm not too smart. You know that. But it's a great grill, and people are very aware of it. It's one of those grills where the smoke comes from wood pellets that you put in there, you know, apple wood, all kinds of flavors and stuff like that. So if your master here does a New York strip for you, it will be the best that you've ever had.
I'm going to hold you to that. Meanwhile, I look forward to our visit next week. Thanks, Lee.
Okay, pal. Bye.